Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com. You can also send us text messages at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Cracks are already emerging in a proposed opposition party grand coalition featuring two formations of the MDC, led by Tendai Biti and Welsh Mengube.
If you followed my messages since 2008, I have emphasized the need for working together. In fact, I am the first person who proposed grand coalition for change.
The MDC Tibulawayo Provincial Council is expected tomorrow to announce the suspension of Chairperson Gordon Moyo on suspicion he supports opponents of party leader Morgan Tsvangirai.
Unfortunately, Honorable Gordon Moyo, who also represents Makokova, will be suspended. But the other legislators is fired themselves because they formed another party.
And a Washington-based democracy advocacy group says media freedom around the world has declined to its lowest levels in a decade, including in places that had been making progress.
When we talk of progress, I want to look at the print media. It's quite an improvement and this must be applauded. But then you come to the situation of television. We still have one television station today. This is quite sad.
The MDC Tibulawayo Provincial Council is expected tomorrow to announce the suspension of Chairperson Gordon Moyo on suspicion he supports the Democratic Renewal Team led by Tendai Biti. Sources within the party say the province will endorse recommendations by Moyo's Makokova constituency, which passed a vote of no confidence in the lawmaker late on Wednesday and demanded his expulsion from the party. The Bulawayo Provincial Council says it will first meet tomorrow morning before announcing the suspension of Moyo pending a hearing. Provincial Organizing Secretary Albert Mhlanga tells Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo they will also announce the expulsion of Renewal Team legislators Sam Sipepa Nkomo, Reggie Moyo and Bekitemba Nyati.
Tomorrow at 3 May, 10 o'clock, the province will sit down as a council and announce the firing of three honorables of the province, namely Sipepa Nkomo, who represents Lopengula, Reggie Moyo, who represents Luveve, Bekitemba Nyati, who represents Mpopoma. And unfortunately, Honorable Gordon Moyo, who also represents Makokova, will be suspended. But the other legislators has fired themselves because they formed another party. Our constitution, our recent constitution says if you form or cross to another party, you actually have suspended yourself. Those who have got no problem with, they are clear, they formed their own party. But we are not clear with the court anymore. That's why we are saying he's going to be suspended pending his hearing. The Makokova district has met on Wednesday. They said a number of allegations against their honorable member, and they said they're no longer interested in him representing them in the Parliament of Zimbabwe.
Albert Mhlanga is MDCT Organizing Secretary for the Bulawayo Province. He was speaking with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo.
A Washington-based democracy advocacy group says media freedom around the world has declined to its lowest levels in a decade, including in places that had been making progress. Freedom House released its annual press report Thursday, with North Korea ranked as the worst of the 197 countries and territories the group rated. Project Director Karen Kekler told VOA that in 2013, only one out of every six people on the planet had access to a free media. The report ranks Iran and Syria near the bottom, highlighting a trend in the Middle East, which Freedom House says had the biggest declines in press freedom.
The report ranks Eurasia as the worst region with none of its population living in a country with a free media. Freedom House says media freedom in Latin America hit a five-year low, with only 2% of people in those countries having access to a free media. But Kaleka tells VOA's Ndimiake Mwakalielie sub-Saharan countries made significant improvements, and Zimbabwe was among them.
8 of the 11 improvements in the world were in Africa, and one of those was in Zimbabwe as well. So this was sort of continuing a trend of improvement in Zimbabwe over the last few years, where we've seen an improvement in our numerical score, basically due to improvements in the level of media diversity in the country, which have occurred with, you know, the opening of a number of new newspapers and now also radio stations. And also last year we wanted to highlight the positive impact of the passage of the new constitution, which does contain explicit provisions and protections for media freedom and freedom of expression.
But yet, Zimbabwe is still rated not free.
Yeah, no, it definitely is still in the not free category, and we do have a number of, you know, continuing concerns, one of which is basically that many of the other laws that are very restrictive towards the press remain on the books. But what I think people are hoping is that now, with the new constitution, that some of these laws may be able to be challenged in the courts on the grounds that they're unconstitutional. And there have been moves in this regard already with regard to the, for example, the criminal libel and defamation laws. What we also saw last year in Zimbabwe is that, you know, the number of attacks and physical harassment of journalists also seemed to be on a decline as well. So those were, I think, the positive trends, but definitely there's a number of areas of key concern. One of the others, obviously, is that the broadcast sector as a whole really does remain under state control, and it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to get radio licenses for independent radio stations.
Now, some would argue there actually are private radio stations operating in Zimbabwe, Star FM,
and those are the two that were given licenses and were able to open, and act, you know, that's what some of the improvement is about. But when you look at the fact that a number of other stations did apply for licenses and were not given licenses, and that the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, BAZ, is still under sort of heavy state control and is not independent, I mean, those are areas of continuing concern. I mean, really, there needs to be a much wider opening of the broadcast sector for community radio and for other independent radio stations.
Now, Ms. Kaleka, while noting the improvements, including the variety of publications and also these radio stations, by still labeling Zimbabwe not free, what is the implication of that?
Just that there's room for a lot of improvement. I mean, there's huge legal restrictions in Zimbabwe on journalists, and the ability to prosecute journalists under these laws, you know, leads obviously to some degree of self-censorship, because journalists don't want to push the boundaries too much, because they see that if their colleagues do, then they tend to get thrown in jail or, you know, threatened with prosecution for libel, with defamation, or under some of the other laws.
The theme of this year's World Press Freedom Day, Media Freedom for a Better Future, Shaping the Post-2015 Development Agenda. Can you just put that in context? What exactly does it signify?
The importance of access to information and of free media and people's ability to access news is key when you look at a number of other development issues, including transparency, good governance, anti-corruption efforts. So, you know, I really think these need to be made an explicit part of the agenda. And it's particularly worrying that there have been these declines in media freedom, because media freedom is really essential to providing a solid foundation for democracy and for economic development. So our trends are particularly worrying in that regard as well.
And that was Freedom House Project Director Karin Kaleka speaking with VOA's Ndimiake Mwakalielie from Washington, D.C. The world is set to commemorate World Press Freedom Day tomorrow.
Media Commissioner Matthew Takaona agrees, saying Zimbabwe is among few African countries where the media landscape has improved.
Probably when one looks at this day tomorrow, one wants to make a comparison of today and the years before 2010. If we make that comparison, I think there are areas where there have been quite some immense progress. Then there are areas where there's not been any progress at all. When we talk of progress, I want to look at the print media. It's quite an improvement, and this must be applauded. But then you come to the situation of television. We still have one television station today. This is quite sad. At the same time, I want to make a cautionary statement in that we must, as a country, do as much as possible to discourage cross-ownership of the media. We should not allow a situation where if somebody has a newspaper, he also gets the privilege to run a radio station. He gets the privilege to run a television station. If you own a radio station, you must not have a newspaper, you must not have a television station, because the media has a lot of power. They are concentrating power too much in some hands, and that's not healthy.
That was Media Commissioner Matthew Takaona.
In Washington, D.C., the United Nations Foundation hosted a morning panel to hear voices from fragile states and why they matter as part of activities to mark International Press Freedom Day. Ambassador Melanie Vivia of the Georgetown Institute for Women, Peace and Security led the discussion, calling on journalists to have the courage to change the narrative and focus on women's voices when reporting in conflict regions, as their voices, she said, were hardly heard or are most often distorted.
As you all know, I'm sure, we are going to the 15th anniversary of the Millennium Development Goals. And where do we go? How far have we come? And a big part of that has been a reflection of the post-2015 UN Experts Panel that has looked at the array of issues that still need to be resolved with all the progress that's been made. And Fragile States looms large in that, which explicitly links women to peace and security. And again, that is a tremendously unfinished agenda that calls all of us to greater efforts. So I think for all of those reasons, having this discussion at the UN Foundation this morning is that much more meaningful. We also know that denying women's rights is very much linked to the instability of countries.
That was Ambassador